We have a lot of videos of the podcast and various other tutorials on YouTube. You can subscribe to our channel at mixingmusicpodcast.com/YouTube. Happy mixing and enjoy the show.
At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
One, two, three.
Hello, and welcome back to the Mixing Music Podcast. I'm your host, DK, and with me today, as always, my fabulous co-host. We will go with Fabulous Lou.
It's not an L, but
fabulous
I'll take it.
Fabulous Lou. Lou is absolutely fabulous. I owe fabulous. You because the last time I called you Lazy Lou, that was the only L one that I could think of on the spot, and I owed you one, so let's give you a good one. It doesn't have to be an L.
One day I'm going to make a coffee table with every single one that you've called me, just written on top and then laminate the top of it.
There you go.
Like put a clear acrylic, whatever.
There you go. I think we're going to have to do one of those or maybe like make a t-shirt for you.
Oh, yeah.
All the different Lou's that you
want.
And
then I'll put lazy in big words on my chest.
Dang. It's smack to my face, not yours. That's what that really is. Today we wanted to talk about some of the rules of being an intern, as well as just working in this industry. Lou, you always say that, you know, even if you're getting paid, you're always acting as the intern. What do you mean by that?
Well, one story I like to bring up all the time is when I first met Keisha, or not when I first met her, but first started working with her recently. She invited me to her house originally on the concept that I'm just going to reassemble her studio. You know, it was kind of like cables everywhere, kind of a mess. She wanted a much more professional and vibey look. Then after I did that, she invited me to record a session with her just on a trial basis. If it's cool, it's cool. If not, not. And I remember waiting there for like an hour while she got ready because, you know, as an engineer, you show up an hour to 30 minutes early. Please do that as an intern. If
yeah,
you
that's
say
one of the rules
you have
we'll go over, but
yeah, if the session's at 6, you show up at 5, whether you're an intern or not. I'm just saying. But she thought it was weird that I was sweeping and cleaning the studio. It was just something I did because I was like, if I'm going to be here, I'm going to keep myself working. Keep yourself busy. Don't just sit around, you know.
And we'll go over all the specific things, but you say that it's important to be
keep yourself working. You know, nobody wants to look at somebody being lazy when they're being paid to be there.
So yeah, let's talk about, so this is not necessarily about being an intern and being a good intern. Yes, this is what the episode's about, but I want you to think
habits.
Beyond that. Yeah, it should be professional habits and how to succeed in this career, practically speaking.
How to stand out.
Exactly, exactly. And how you can continue to play with the big dogs and not get burned. And yes, obviously, skill is a big part of it. If you're better, if you're faster, whatever it is, like that's going to be a big part of it. But this is stuff outside of the technical skill, things like personality stuff. I would say that because our industry is a lot about trust, who you are as a person is way more important than how good your mix is or how good your recording is. Mm-hmm. Honestly, it's always in this industry, I'll say it again, it's person before product. Who you are as a person matters more than the product that you create. So When I was at NAMM this last year in January of 2020, that feels like forever ago. That's when I met Lou for the first time.
Oh, yeah.
And Crass, the like, there's a recording school called Crass. I think they're based out of, where are they, Arizona? I forgot.
Somewhere.
Nevada, something like that.
In America.
In America, in Southwest America. They gave me a t-shirt at NAMM that says 10 rules of studio etiquette. And I kind of wanted to go through each one as well as add to them and kind of go through them. And the first one that they said was be attentive. Yes. Anticipate the needs of others. Don't wait to be asked to do something. There is always work to be done at the studio.
Going back to when what I said about when I first started working with Keisha, you know, she thought it was weird. For me, it was just normal because, one, be attentive. If the room is dirty, the room is dirty. Pick it up a little bit. It may not be your job, but it definitely helps the work. It definitely keeps the client happy and comfortable. So if you see, like, some empty water bottles, it's not much work to just throw them in the trash.
Yeah, and as I really believe in this. Like, anybody can do what they're told.
Yeah.
A dog can do what they're told. You don't even have to be human to do what you're told.
My dog would not agree.
But you could train your dog, right? But I'm saying the point is, your value is not going to come from executing well on what you're told. In fact, that's like the bare minimum standard. If I tell you, let's say you're interning for us and I tell you to go clean the bathroom and you did a half-assed job cleaning that bathroom, you are way below the expectation.
If everything is clean, but there's skid marks, I'm just saying.
No, but I mean, like, I'm saying, like, even things like that. Or if you look like you facially, like, with your face, you give me the expression that you don't want to do it. Mm-hmm. Like, I've gone out of my way to ask you to do something instead of you looking around looking for stuff. I've told you something specifically that you were going to. I made your life easy by telling you what to do.
Yeah.
And you give me the face like, I don't want to do it or I don't deserve to be here, then you get the fuck out of my studio.
My favorite one is if everybody's working and you're the only one standing there not doing anything and you're just looking around with your hands in your pocket, get out.
Yeah.
You obviously have nothing to do.
So number one is doing what you're told is the bare minimum. Is the lowest expectation. You do not deserve any sort of high five for cleaning the bathroom well if I asked you to clean the bathroom. That being said, if you see the bathroom is dirty and nobody has asked you to clean the bathroom and you take some time to clean the bathroom without being asked, that deserves a high five.
Yeah.
Now that's awesome.
You may not get it, but it's noted.
Every single engineer that's on Mix with the Master or someone that's like a legend now always has stories about how they were the best intern.
Oh, yeah.
Jason Joshua talks about how he fluffed the pillows on the couch for Dave Pensado. And there's somebody else that talked about how all the soda cans in the fridge, all the labels were facing forward and they were really nice. Oh, yeah, that's
Alex Tumay. Sloza did that for us.
Yeah, and lots of little things. Like, these small things go a long way. And I'm not saying that you have to do these things. You get creative. You look for holes. That's what, honestly, like, if you can fill holes that you find and you're attentive and you know what problems to solve, you're going to get a job very quickly.
Oh, yeah.
I'd rather have
a problem solver than somebody that became the problem.
Exactly, exactly. So let's go on to number two. Be confident. Signal flow, method questions, and the golden rule of troubleshooting will get you through most situations. I don't know what the golden rule of troubleshooting is. Follow the workflow, I guess. When in doubt, ask for help, but never say, no, I can't do that.
Oh, I talk about this all the time.
Yeah.
I tell everybody, all my interns, the answer no does not exist. And if you ever say no, you better have a solution proposed. Because if it's not possible, you better give them an option that is possible.
This list kind of frustrates me in the sense that, like, for me,
it's common sense.
It's so common sense. Like, if you are not, if you say no to a client in a regular 9-to-5 job, let's say you have a decent job. If you tell your clients no without proposing any solutions, you're not going to keep your job.
Yeah.
What makes you think that you're going to get
that client might just leave.
And to be honest, it's way easier to get a job outside of music than the job that I was just explaining.
Yeah.
So, like, the fact, like, to be honest, at the end of the day, I hate to say this, producers and engineers are extremely replaceable. There's way too many engineers and producers that want to make it to make it big. So the fact of the matter is, if you say no, you just lost an opportunity. And more importantly, potentially just made your company or your image look bad. Nah, you should be able to say yes and find a workaround, or be able to provide someone or help them figure out a way and follow through. Don't just lead them in a direction.
Yep.
Follow through. Make sure that they do it if you recommend someone else.
Yep.
Because at the end of the day, if you recommend someone else and they get mad at you and say, hey, you didn't help me out. It's like, no, I recommended you someone. It's your fault. You didn't follow through. You should have said, I recommended this person. You said you needed help with this. Now, obviously, don't like push it. Like if it's a sales thing, it's different. But if they already agreed upon it and the price and everything like that, and they just, it just needs to get done. Follow through. That's super important. I don't give a shit if it's not your responsibility, if you're not getting paid for it at all. It does not matter.
Yeah. And to be honest, a lot of my success has come from the free work I've done for people. I'm not saying do things for free. I'm saying that that follow through is ultimately what they're going to remember about you.
There you go. Boom. Number three, be cool. Attitude is everything in a session. Always have a good attitude. If people don't like to be around you because of your attitude, you will not get work in this industry. Do we even need to expand on this? This is one of the most important ones.
You know what? Actually, we don't need to expand on it, but the reason rules exist is because of people not having common sense. So let's expand.
Yo, it's super obvious. Again, it goes back to every producer and every engineer, unfortunately, is extremely replaceable, which is why to a certain degree, there's not going to be any strikes or there's not going to be any strikes going on for engineers and stuff because there's someone that's going to replace you that's willing to do the job.
Yeah.
So unfortunately,
for less or equal or even more if they just feel more comfortable.
Exactly. I always talk about this on the show. It's the person before the product. Yes, I have really good mixes, but more importantly, my customer satisfaction is really, really high.
I think I've told you that too before. Like, I've actively decided to not hire people because I just don't like them.
Yeah.
Their product may be great, but I'd rather not talk to them.
Be cool. Be someone you want to be around. Okay, number four, this is super easy. We're just going to blast through these. Be on time. Early is on time. On time is late. Late is fired.
So, I actually have a big issue with this one. I've met a lot of engineers who are late or 5 minutes early or 10 minutes early. And wow, dude, no. Yeah. Show up 30 minutes early minimum. And the people that are hiring.
Why, right? Because you're going to come into the room and you're going to have to troubleshoot something and you're going to have to set up your hard drive.
Something's not set up. You got the mics that are not even set up for you because nobody told them what mics you need. Nobody set up the console for your needs because nobody knew what the hell was going on. The artist just booked the studio and you're their engineer. They're relying on you to solve all the issues that they don't know exist. And you're giving yourself 5 minutes to do that. If the artist is on time, like the majority of my clients, I'm just saying, you have 5 minutes to fix any issue in existence.
And let's say they come to my studio. And so I'm late to my studio. They want to start at 9. I come at 9:05, 9:10. It's my studio, right? Mm-hmm. And everything is already set up, but I'm 10 minutes late. I could very easily say, okay, I'm just going to give you an extra 10 minutes, 20 minutes because I was late and I apologize. But still, if you were just on time, the client's going to think more highly of you.
I remember I recently did a session at Record Plant. I showed up an hour early for that, and the studio told me that as soon as the engineer arrives and gets in the room is when the session starts. So what did I do? I just asked them, can I have this microphone ready for the session? Can I have this vocal chain set up? Can I have this routed to the console because I'm going to be working like this? And I'll just wait in the lobby. Like, the fact that they're willing to do everything for you at most of these big studios or, like, studios like ours, if you call us in advance, say, we need to record drums, we need X amount of stands, X amount of mics, X amount of preamps, and I wish it could be all pre-routed for us, we'll do it for you, just so that you can get the most out of your time. But showing up 5 minutes ahead of time, 10 minutes ahead of time, if you know it's a big-name client and everything, you're just shooting yourself in the foot because all these things get noticed by management.
Boom. Next one, be accurate. This is actually something that we need to do more of in this studio as we kind of build. But whether you are whether you are taking a food order or documenting a session, your notes need to be 100% accurate 100% of the time. This happened the other day. Someone came into the studio and someone asked for something and they brought something else because they just weren't paying attention. And then on top of that, the person was defending themselves, saying like, oh, like, no, like, I wrote it down right. No, that's what you told me. I promise. Nah, bro. You messed up. Can't do that.
Nope.
That's bad. Like that ruins the vibe, which is the number one most important thing is keeping the vibe. And yeah, like, especially if we do like tax reports or if you have session documentation, I know bigger studios have you document every session, which that's what I was talking about. We should start doing.
Well, I actually have that. It's a, I have it in a Gmail link where I actually have session reports, vocal chains, plugins that are needed to have in case we move around. If you have a client that's always just, they're sending you a song to mix, then cool. Have a mix report saying, in the notes of the session, like under the channel, I use the CL1B as the insert for this.
And let's say you forgot to add a plugin or it just wasn't accurate.
Exactly. Boom. Now you're going to the next studio and not knowing what you needed.
Okay, next one. Be thorough. Accuracy is only valuable if you are not missing any details. Pay attention to the details.
That's a big one.
And actually,
especially while you're recording, if you notice something's off about the recording, maybe don't blurt it out while they're recording, but try to find the solution fast, because if you just keep working with these little issues, if the recording has like a slight little buzz, if they're saying, oh, we're paying our engineer, I don't know, $45 an hour, but you had agreed to $50, or the studio is about to charge them $2,200 when you quoted them $1,800, that's not accurate. Fix it.
Yep. I think that's super important. And excuse me. I think that there's a lot of things that we could talk about. Actually, this is a perfect segue into what I want to talk about, being thorough, being accurate. You know what helps us be thorough and accurate is our sponsor, FilePass.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you for sponsoring us, FilePass. We'll be really brief because we love FilePass. We talk to them about it a lot. But FilePass is an online cloud file service storage place thing that you can upload your files and sessions and mixes. People can leave comments, give feedback, and you can block people from downloading it if they haven't paid for it.
You know, I actually was just talking about this with my friend Jannard. Jay the Love Child is what he goes by on Instagram. But, you know, he sent me a song to mix for one of his clients. And I told him, like, hey, if it's cool with you, I'm going to send you the bounce through FilePass. Being that you already paid, I'm not going to put a paywall up, which you can. Let's say they haven't paid. You can say, oh, it's $350 for the mix. But here's the mix. Let me know what you think. They can say, hey, before I pay for this, these are the notes that I have. They can timestamp it. It'll actually pop up as a checklist. And I really like that because me and Jay get very specific with each other on little things. But it's never like a bad thing. It's always like, can I get a little longer reverb tail at this word?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. And the fact that it's timestamped and it makes it like a checklist, so I can check off everything that I've done. Exactly. I don't have to redo the edit thinking, oh, did I do it or not? You know.
So there's centralized revision requests. So you can keep it thorough and keep it accurate because you don't have to hunt through your texts and your emails and stuff every time a client, which they don't even have to log in. When you send a client link out, they don't have to log in. It's super frictionless. It's super easy. Like, clients get the link. They open it up as if it was a regular link. I hate Dropbox because Dropbox, you can't even look at the session unless you have a Dropbox account.
Yeah.
I hate it. You don't need to have a FilePass account to look at the file. And if they leave any revision requests, you get one single email and all of their requests are in one spot and you can check it off. It shows up as a checklist. It's really nice. And you can even like have custom branding on it. There's no file, like huge FilePass logo or anything like that. It looks really nice. And it's super easy to use, made by engineers for engineers. So I really, really recommend FilePass.com. We have a link in our description. Thank you again for sponsoring our show. We really, truly use this product every day and we love it. Recommend it. Highly recommend it. We'll probably be doing some discounts and giveaways or something like that for them.
That'd
in the future,
be awesome.
But as of right now, yeah, just go to FilePass.com. Let's go to the next one. This is important. Be seen, not heard. Do not share your opinion with artists, engineers, or employers unless they have directly asked you to do so.
I've actually had to talk to many people about this, and I have to catch myself on these things too. If you're in the room and somebody says, I don't know.
What do you think about this? Well,
that's always a question, right? They'll be like, I don't know. I feel like something's off about the record. If you're walking into the room and be like, I don't know. It sounds like a Kid Cudi song.
Yo, and you're the intern?
Man.
Oh,
bro, you're fired.
Yeah, depending on the client, like usually bigger clients don't want to be like
the cat's out of the hat on that one.
Compared to other big clients.
Yeah, they don't. Oh. No, I remember I made that mistake very early on, like 9 years ago. I got an opportunity in a big room with a big artist and they asked me to set up the reverb. And I was like, cool, what kind of reverb do you want? Like an Adele reverb? Do you want a whatever reverb? They put the headphones down and walked out.
That was a big session too. You haven't said the name, but
I know. No, I'm not going to.
Yeah. You haven't said who it was, but that was a big session that.
Yeah. I lost a huge opportunity over comparisons. If you're in the room and they're like, oh, so what kind of stuff do you do? It's okay to say like, oh, I engineer, I mix, I master. If they ask you who you've worked for, then cool. Mention who you've worked for. But sometimes it's a good idea to be in the room and say nobody's name.
But more importantly, if you were hired to be an engineer, you were not hired to be the songwriter and the producer.
Yeah, so don't get it confused,
don't
people.
Try to throw words in or phrases in or try to write, oh, what about this line? No, absolutely not. And if you're an intern and you say anything at all, you got to remember, as an intern, interns are never invited. Interns are only allowed to be at the studio. We, as the owners or whatever studio you're getting an internship or trying to get an internship for, remember, you're an intern. Nobody ever asked for the intern to be there.
Yeah.
Nobody ever said, please mix my song with the interns in the room, or please record me and have the interns stare at me across the glass and take notes. Nah, nobody ever asked for that. The thing is, you're allowed to be there. So if you say a word, even if they seem like they're talking to you and they're asking for an opinion, they probably ain't asking for your opinion. They're asking for the opinion of the person working on the session.
Yeah, and if they start mentioning like, oh, so-and-so did a good job, don't run in the room saying, oh, yeah, you know, I was—
Brown nosing.
Hey.
We had to tell one of our, like our number one lead intern— he's the man, absolutely the man. But like, even he, we had to say something a couple times.
I've had to tell interns, don't play your music during somebody else's session. I'd had to do it discreetly by texting them. Hey, stop playing your music. Get the session back in order because, the engineer in the session made a huge no-no, which was ask somebody else to play music that has nothing to do with the client in the room, the one who's paying for the time. Which, if you ask me, that was a fireable offense. If that engineer worked for me, they would have been fired.
Yeah, so be careful. Again, this is an intern's list, but this is relevant. Like, same thing for me. Like, if I'm hired for, like, recording, I'm not talking about songwriting lines. Unless, like,
I'm not
obviously—
talking about my session yesterday with so-and-so.
Unless you have a deeper relationship with your client or it's not a big deal or whatever. But if this is my first time in a room with a client, and especially if it's a bigger client, yeah, I'm going to shut up. I'm going to read the room.
Yeah. Which is, guys, learn to read the room.
Emotional intelligence is the most important factor for engineers.
Like, I've been able to walk into a room, just look at who's paying for it and look what the people are doing, and then try to gauge how they feel about the room in that moment just by looking at their expressions.
Yeah. Number one way of getting fired immediately, intern or engineer or anything, is self-promotion. Especially inappropriate self-promotion. Because at the end of the day, everybody in our industry, there's not a single person that doesn't want to show you music.
Yeah.
So sometimes—
just don't.
Like, just don't. Everybody wants to show music. You. They'll ask you, and then they'll only listen. And it's in your best interest to wait for them to ask you too, because—
you got leverage at that point.
Yeah, like they wanted to listen. Like, now they're listening. You don't want to play music when nobody's listening. It's bad overall. Like, it's horrible.
Especially if everybody's looking at their phone and everybody's just passing the aux around. Maybe don't.
We're going to move on to number eight. Number eight is be humble. Confidence is key, but arrogance can cost you a job. Do not boast or brag about yourself, and never promote your own music while on the job. I think we already covered that self-promotion thing.
I think that landed on the confidence part too. Yeah,
so there is definitely a difference. We've talked about this a lot in the past. Difference between confidence and arrogance. Don't be arrogant.
I find myself being arrogant sometimes, and then I had to apologize for it.
Yeah, and you know what?
Be self-aware.
At the end of the day, be self-aware. But at the end of the day, apologies is okay. The worst thing you can do is make a mistake and not apologize.
The worst thing you can do is make a mistake, apologize, and then do it again. If you're going to apologize, I need to physically see you make an action about it.
Yeah.
Either stop talking about whatever you started talking about, stop doing whatever you did.
I genuinely think that not apologizing is worse than that. Because that means that you're not even willing to consider that you made a mistake. Or That's you're not true. Willing to admit out loud that you made a mistake.
But what about admitting a mistake and then doing it again knowingly?
But I could make a mistake again. Like I said, I'm not going to drop a plate of salad or plate and drop the break the plate. But you know how many plates we've broken in our lives?
Yeah.
Right? So I mean, it's a mistake is a mistake. But saying that, never saying sorry for breaking a plate, oof. I think that's a bigger deal.
I got you.
Yeah. I think that's a bigger one. But again, depends on the scenario. Nine, be presentable. Always be clean, as I read this with a beard, okay? Always be clean and dress professionally. If you can't keep yourself clean, no one will trust that you will keep their facility clean.
It goes back to what I always tell people about being able to work in a room as an intern. If I can't trust you to grab a coffee, I can't trust you to sit in on a session in case somebody needs something. I can't trust you to assist on a session. I can't trust you to engineer it.
It's all the little things. Yeah. If you can't clean a toilet, what makes you think you can clean my session?
Yeah. If I can't trust you to clean the toilet, I'm not trusting you to clean the gear.
Gear and sessions are way harder to clean than toilets.
Yeah. But, you know, that whole presentable thing, it goes back to doing the little things in the studio. For instance, if you're not willing to comb your hair or at least wear a fucking hat, you know, I'm not trusting you to run a session.
So I'm trying not to be hypocritical here with my nasty beard that I got going on. If you're watching on YouTube, you can see that I have a nice little beard thing going on.
Nice.
This is when we talk about how we have a YouTube channel. Subscribe to us on YouTube. I think YouTube is our smallest growing community because we're the least consistent with it. But subscribe to us on YouTube. Yee. Let's see. Be presentable. That's important. Be available. When working on a session, do not leave the session unless asked to do so as a runner. Opportunity comes to those who are present.
Take every opportunity you can.
Well, wait to be given an opportunity, then take the opportunity that is given to you and present it to you.
Okay. Correction. He's right. Given opportunities. Don't just walk in the room and be like, hey, man, let me play you my tracks. No, shut up and get out.
Yeah, there you go. I want to actually share a story with this that Leslie Brathwaite shared with us during Mix with the Masters that I think is super, super important about this. But number one, before we get into the story, is in general, internships, you get out of them what you put into them. For example, if you're able to be there only once a week for 4 hours, that's awesome.
Yeah.
But don't expect to, no matter how many years you've been there, don't expect to get the same opportunities as someone who's there four or five times a week, mm-hmm. 5 days a week, and they're there for multiple hours. That person's obviously just going to get a lot more opportunities because you gain trust much faster and you're around. And someday someone's going to be in the studio, a client's going to be in the studio, and they're going to know someone that you know. And somehow it's all going to be intertwined. And it was just because you were there.
Did I ever tell you about some of the things that I've done for Keisha that aren't necessarily engineering?
There you go.
I've helped her move. I've helped her put up paintings, her plaques on the wall. I've helped retrofit a door that was oversized for the section that it was, and took my planer to her house and planed it to size. I'm just saying, guys, there's many ways to get in the room, but when given an opportunity, it may not always be engineering or recording or producing. It may just be being around them.
Boom.
You know, if they say, hey, I've got a dog and I'm going out of town for the next 3 days. Can you help take care of this dog? It's like, sure. I like dogs. I'm not allergic to them. And if anything, this is actually relationship building for me. So it's something that I can technically passively do, you know, walk the dog a couple times a day. Cool. I probably need to walk myself a couple times a day.
Yeah, there you go. And as we finish up this episode, because camera's about to die, apparently. I want to say the story really briefly. This is the kind of level of being available and present, because there's the general term, just being available, you know, mm-hmm. being flexible with your schedule. But as well as like when you don't leave the studio unless you're allowed to leave the studio, asked to leave the studio.
First one in, last one out.
Exactly. For example, even if it seems like everybody's drinking and nobody's in the studio, this happened. One of my first sessions out in LA, everybody was drinking, hanging out in the lobby, not in the studio. Nobody's in the studio. I was just sitting there in the chair. I almost left the studio. And as I was about to leave the studio, all the eyes went to me, like watching what I would do, because I can tell that they were going to be like, nah, you're not allowed to leave the studio. And then I went back down inside, because I remember a story Leslie told me, which was he was working in Atlanta at the time. And I think he was working with Lauryn Hill for the first time ever. And she came in, dropped off her purse, did a session. And Leslie, all he remembers is don't leave the room unless you've been told to leave the room, unless the session is for sure over. So he just sat there for hours after she was gone, because she left her purse next to the couch, mm-hmm. or on the couch or something like that. And Leslie just sat there thinking she'd be coming back, and he kept hearing the words of never leaving the studio.
Yep.
And for hours, I think the story goes like 3 to 5, like ridiculous amounts of hours of just sitting there twiddling his thumbs, back before smartphones were a thing, right? He's just sitting there And he finally has the courage to leave the door, to go to the bathroom and like go to the front door and be like, hey, where's Lauren? Because he felt like he would get fired immediately if anybody found out that he left the room, mm-hmm. you know, because her bag was still there. He thought she was coming back. Maybe they went out to get lunch or something like that. I don't know, dinner or something. Yeah, she had left for the day after the session was over. So he had waited for hours for no reason. But that's the level of dedication that I think most people need to a certain degree.
Yeah, honestly, I think about a year ago, I got hired for another pretty big name client. And, you know, I'm not saying that the bigger they get, the more they make you wait. But I remember waiting 4.5 hours for them to show up to a studio. They paid for a 24-hour lockout. And me and another engineer agreed to do like a shift, like 12 hours here, 12 hours there. They didn't show up till 4.5 hours in. You know what I did? I just ate sushi in front of the console. Keep yourself busy, clean up the studio, prep all the mics, do whatever you got to do. If they leave in the middle of the session, which has happened to me too, you know, they'll just be like, oh, let's get some dinner. And it's like 9 at night.
Yeah.
You know, and then they end up having some shots and they end up enjoying themselves. And then they say, man, we got 2 more hours at the studio. Let's go back. And then they come in with all the energy, all the excitement, all the inspiration. And for 2 straight hours, you're tracking fast, you know.
And you can't track fast enough.
Yeah.
Like to a certain degree. I think that's huge.
Yeah.
That's actually super important. And guess what? If you're not in the room, like you were hired for that, especially if you're the engineer, if you're in the room and you're hired for that.
You're getting paid to be there.
Yeah, and if you weren't there, like the one moment, let's say they only record for 10 minutes out of the 10-hour session, right? And if you weren't there, if you missed that 10 minutes, bro, you're fired.
Yeah.
So just be careful with that. So actually, camera's about to die. This is a good, long enough episode anyway. Thank you so much for listening. Please leave 5-star review on Apple if you're listening on Apple Podcasts. You can also find us on Spotify. Put the podcast episode on a playlist if you like to listen. Recommend us to friends, yada, yada, yada. Mix feedback. Go to mixingmusicpodcast.com. Happy mixing, my friends, and
download
stay
the
saucy.
Template.
1, 2, 3.
If you'd like to take advantage of my free guides and online videos, please check out links.dekmixes.com. That's links.dekeimixes.com. Psst. Hey, you. Yeah, you. Come join our Discord. The Mixing Music Discord server is filled with tons of awesome information and people. People that can help you out and information that can help you grow your business and to help you improve your mixes. So come join us and find the invitation link at mixingmusicpodcast.com.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.